Hello, hello, and welcome to episode 17 of Sex Cult Radio. My name is Callie Rain, and today we're going to talk about the music and rhythms of sexuality, the composition of an orgasm, the various ways that storytellers and partners alike play our bodies and play them on camera. So I'm really excited about today's episode. This is for all of my musicians. But before we get into all of that, the sex worker shout out of the day. I'm very excited about this one, Miss Juno Mack. I've been following Juno Mack's work for a really long time, and the first time I ever came across her her beautiful spirit, presence, powerhouse, everything, was through The Art of Submission and Domination. And I was a super creepy person who just kept coming back to her website and looking at her photos. I was captivated by her writing, her photography. She is a sex worker, photographer, and writer out in the UK. She's the author of, co-author of Revolting Prostitutes, The Fight for Sex Workers' Rights. I have a copy down in the sanctuary in New Orleans that I'm so excited to read. And I'm just a massive fangirl of this person. She completely transformed the way I thought about sex work and tattoos as well. Yeah, she was the sex worker person who inspired my snake tattoo. She's an incredible artist. I urge you to go run and check out her work, and I will include her links in the show notes. And the next item of business. My name is Callie Rain. For those of you who I haven't met, I am what I call my tarot title, the High Priestess of the Abyssian Union, which is just a fancy little tarot title to describe my job. The Abyssian Union, we are a 501c3 religious nonprofit dedicated to the elevation of consciousness through sex and sexuality. We do that by celebrating sex work and sex workers for the amazing, badass, awesome, incredible work that we do. It is my true high honor and privilege to be able to do this work. And I'm so excited about this sex worker shout out thing because it's giving me motivation to just keep finding more and more topics because there are so many people who I want to shout out. And it's really exciting. I've never found work quite like this. And I can't stop. Can't stop. Won't stop. All right. Let's see. So we're going to get into the music and rhythms of sexuality and going a little bit beyond what kind of music and rhythm and beats do we find sexy and alluring and seductive, although I think that's going to be fun to talk about a little later on. But we're going to get into several aspects of creating rhythms with a partner. And I will include in the show notes a study that I'm going to be pulling from just a teensy bit, but it elaborates on a lot of these things a little bit more if you'd like to read it. But it is called Groups Clapping in Unison Undergo Size-Dependent Error-Induced Frequency Increase by Thompson, Murphy, and Lukeman. So I will include that in the show notes. And the first time I came across this was in a biomechanics class, which was a really fun movement class in which we learned how to do really fun things like balance each other with carrying certain areas and concentrations of weight. I'm just 5 feet tall, and I was able to lift people and move people and find areas of strength that I never knew I had by just moving my balance a little bit or shifting my physical or mental or emotional perspective. So the first time I ever came across this concept was in this biomechanics class. And our teacher had us clap all together in unison, just like that. And then as we continued, we started to increase the rhythm of our clapping, and it started to get faster. And then we started to correct ourselves and try to get back. We had several people who had music training, several people did not. I'm sure that was the base of a lot of frustration between us. But we started to correct ourselves, and then we started to increase a little bit more once again. And our teacher had said that this phenomena, this rhythm of increasing and then plateauing a little bit and then increasing a little bit higher than you had before is a rhythm that we see in a lot of areas in the world. We see that rhythm when we learn something, when we go through a process of learning, of acquiring knowledge or skills within a certain realm. And it's also very similar to the rhythm of an orgasm. So I thought that would be a really cool place to kind of start and think about how we play and compose and move through the various rhythms of sex and sexuality. So I'll get into that a little bit more, then I'll get into some more rhythms, music, et cetera, and then I'll share some personal anecdotes of my fascination with edging porn and the various ways I am fascinated by the way we play our partners or can play our partners or be played, like a piece of music or an instrument. This is probably a good time to take a break, and I will see you in just a moment. Hello, hello, friends. Welcome back to Sex Cult Radio. My name is Callie Rain, for those of you I haven't met. And before we get into the meat and the beat of today's episode, which is all about the music and rhythms of sexuality and the composition of the various orgasms that we experience, induce, create, compose, a super, super low pressure, happy ask. Thank you for your focus and attention and the power and privilege of all of that. It is something that I honor and cherish and will take with me for the rest of my life and beyond. But if you are able to contribute in any financial way, if you are one of the lucky few who had a great financial year due to COVID, and you want to contribute to some sex worker-led organizations such as the Abyssian Union or the various projects and schemes in which we are up to, you can make a tax-deductible donation at our website, abyssian.org, abyssian.org. Thank you for joining me today. I'm really excited to talk about, to talk about this topic for many, many reasons. One is because I have a massive soft spot for musicians and storytellers in general and the way people compose and create stories. So something that I thought would be a fun place to start would be, I would like to pose to you and myself, without any sort of thesis, just sort of brainstorming meditation style, what is the rhythm of an orgasm? Or what is one rhythm of an orgasm? What does that look like? We tend to think that it involves a lot of buildup, foreplay. Certainly, I would argue to say that some of my more enjoyable experiences have a lot of buildup built into the composition. But that's not the only one. And I think that there is something fun to think about in terms of when storytellers, when pornographers, when our partners create these rhythms. Sometimes it's really interesting when people lean into these natural rhythms, or some more average rhythms, such as build up, plateau, build up, climax. And sometimes it's really fun when people break that rhythm in different and interesting ways. And as we are human beings with various different things that affect our orgasm and body and altered head spaces, of course, there are some mechanical things that you may want to keep in mind. However, I still find it really interesting when people break the natural rhythms of an orgasm or find a different one. I should stop saying the word natural, because what I mean to say is average, I suppose. The rhythms that we tend to see more often. However, I'm going to try and stop saying the word natural. But in this study, this group's clapping in unison, they bring up some phrases such as collective synchrony, how humans organize rhythmically, and sensorimotor synchrony. And I thought that was a really cool concept to start with, how humans organize rhythmically. Because that phrase, to me, I immediately saw how sexuality is a form of that. When we come together sexually, that's a way of organizing rhythmically, sometimes physically, through the pounding or stroking or licking or what have you, and sometimes metaphysically as well. And I love the idea of coming together with a partner as if you're creating a dance together. It's a dialogue, it's a rhythm, it's a composition of many different instruments and voices and rhythms and taps, etc., etc. Let's see, where to go with next? And then there's the type of music that we generally associate with sexuality. We have a big joke of that super cheesy elevator music in porn, that is often associated with sexy altered headspaces and whatnot. Yet I tend to find, for me personally, the things that that inspire sexual arousal, musically speaking, I can't quite sum it up. And I think that's reflective of a lot of people in how we approach and view sexuality and what makes sexy music. However, if you have any thoughts, I'd really love to hear what music you find sexy and why, because I speak from a very, very, very narrow perspective of just my own. But in general, a lot of music that we hear in strip clubs, obviously that's a pretty big correlation to what we find sexy. There's a decent amount of pop music played in strip clubs, which I find pretty interesting, but also kind of makes sense. I mean, pop music is short for popular, right? So if there are rhythms and music that we find that are popular, they probably are popular for a reason. And if human beings are made from sex and sexuality, there is probably something that that strikes a chord with us, no pun intended, sexually speaking. And I would add to say that I think there's something about percussion and rhythms in general that is hypnotic, and that in and of itself is pretty seductive and alluring. I'm sure you've encountered a song or a beat where you just can't stop tapping to it or moving to it in some way, and it's almost instinctive, which is really fun. And maybe that's another point to this. When if there's a rhythm or a piece of music or something that allows you to get out of your head and all of a sudden your body just starts moving, maybe that's an element to what makes a piece of music or beat or something kind of sexy. So that's probably a good spot to take a break. When we come back, I'm going to talk about my personal journey and fascination with edging porn, because I think that is an element to playing a person's body as if they are a piece of music, and some of the other challenges and nuances of what I'm going to call creating a long form piece with a partner. So like I said before, various things affect your mood, your stress, trauma, anything that you're going through on a day-to-day basis that could affect your short-term session of playing with someone. But I would like to pose that we also have a long form composition with a partner or partners that I think would be fun to think about and pose and play with. So let's take a break and we'll come right back with the music and rhythms of sexuality. Hello, hello, friends. Welcome back to Sex Cult Radio, episode 17, the music and rhythms of sexuality and the composition of an orgasm and the various many, many, many types of orgasms we have, just like we have many different types of music and instruments and ways of putting them all together or just playing one or two, perhaps a guitar and a voice. And that is a completely different mood and headspace than a full concert with many different voices and people and ways and styles of playing. Yet just because they're different doesn't mean that one is more exciting than the other. And the various ways of creating dynamics of playing with a partner and how we use different toys and ways of playing, such as a feather or a talon, perhaps tapping a person's organs in a certain way is another way of playing and creating and composing. I really like this concept of thinking of composing when it comes to playing with ourselves and each other. And something that I was talking about before we took a break is what I'm gonna call composing a long form rhythm, or a long term, or perhaps long form is a better word for it, but creating a long form rhythm with a partner. And what that means, or at least what it's resonating with me as, is when you play with someone for the first time, or at least in my personal experience, when I play with someone for the first time, it's a very, very exciting dynamic thing. you're playing with so many new, you're playing with a new instrument, which is really exciting. And there can be certain nerves. If you really like this person, or if you're in your head of like, oh God, I hope I do a good job. I encourage you to get out of that mindset as much as possible, but easier said than done. I know, I do it all the time. But I think that's the fun and excitement of playing a new instrument and playing with a new scene partner and playing with a new collaborator. However, sometimes that can get in the way of if you're creating a scene such as a hand job or a milking table scene or something that requires or is very much assisted by a sense of relaxation, of getting out of your head. And that can be quite challenging if you're playing an instrument for the first time, because that's exactly what you are doing, is sort of getting into a creative space where you're trying a bunch of new things for the first time. So when I was thinking about this sense of creating a long form composition with a partner, sometimes that means that it takes one or two play sessions of just learning each other's bodies and getting all of those initial nerves out of the way. And then maybe by the third or fourth time you're playing with each other, you have a better sense of what kind of sensations they like, or perhaps some new ones that you want to try. And at that point, you can get out of your head a little bit more, and you don't have to worry about the initial nerves of playing this new instrument and composing this new thing for the first time. And something else sort of along those lines is, you know, we're human beings. We're affected by many, many, many things, many different kinds of input. You know, a bad day or dehydration can drastically affect how our bodies and minds and moods work. So that's something to keep in mind too, is that you may know this person, you may know this style of music like the back of your hand, but if they had a really shitty day, if they took a test and didn't do well, or if they're dealing with the stress of, you know, something like a global pandemic, that's something to keep in mind too, and not be fearful of, not be thrown off by, because if you're just thinking about creating music or creating this dance in the short term, you're going to miss so much juice and beauty and learning and fun by forgetting about the long form composition with this partner or partners or scene. So that's something that I'd like to pose to y'all as well as myself, is thinking about the long-form composition with your scene partner, with your dancing partner, with your musical collaborator, your sexually music never mind, I'm gonna stop putting those words together that don't make sense. So something else that I wanted to talk about is sharing my personal experience with fascination around edging porn and milking table scenes, because I think that's sort of at the crux of what I really like about those scenes. I have been watching edging porn for the majority of my 20s. I spent about a decade just consuming and ravishing edging porn and milking table scenes. I really liked close-ups of genitals and watching how people played with each other's genitals in that sense. And I had a really hard time finding scenes with people with vaginas, unfortunately. There was like a ton of fucking, like so many scenes that I could find with cocks, but there were very few scenes that I could find that had a kind of tease and edging and denial composition with vaginas, which was really upsetting because I have a vagina and it was something that I really wanted to watch and learn and enjoy the same way that I liked consuming that content with cocks. So that was kind of sad. And now that I'm thinking about it, that's something that I'd like to start making and producing. You know, if I don't see the porn in the world that I want, I should start making it, right? Yeah. moving on. But I think that's one of the reasons why I really loved watching these scenes, was because I really loved watching scenes where partners were super connected to each other in the way that I've watched ballroom dancers move with each other. Whenever I'm engaging in an edging scene with someone, I really love partners who respond to me in a similar way. And like I said, sometimes that takes like one or two times to get there and find each other. And sometimes you just don't click with someone, and that's okay too. Or sometimes someone's body will be affected by a physical form of stress that they need more intense sensations than your body is able to provide. And in that case, toys can be very helpful, and vibrators and things that can give you a bit more force that you may not have on your own without them. I really love close-up genital. Also, I think that there's something objectively hot about close-up genital shots. Just seeing that on a camera, I think there's just something objectively sexy about seeing close-up genitals. but like I said, that's all my personal preferences. But I really, really love the idea of working with a partner as if you are creating music together, as if you're creating a dance together. I think that's the most fun I have ever had. It's something that I'd like to continue moving forward with. You know what? I think it would be fun to have a porn screening showcase at our sanctuary, and maybe have a theme one night and share some of the videos that I watched and consumed voraciously throughout my 20s. Let's see, do I have anything else? I think that's all I have for y'all today. That's the episode today, episode 17, The Music and Rhythms of Sexuality, The Composition of an Orgasm or Orgasms. Thank you for joining me today. I had a lot of fun thinking about this topic. I hope the musicians listening at home had fun. I will see you tomorrow for the next episode of Sex Cult Radio. Thank you for joining me. My name is Callie Rain. Be kind to sex workers. Be kind to everyone.